This is a poem I wrote. At my last job, I was teaching in a very small school. I teach now in the BFA program up at the University of Maine, Farmington. My last job, I taught at a very small women's college in Pittsburgh. And it was so small that I was asked to go in and review the teaching of one of my colleagues. And that's not the unusual thing about it. The unusual thing about it was that this colleague was in the math department. So, you know, he was a friend of mine, so I think that's why he asked me. So I went in, you know, and, you know, it was like double, triple secret calculus or something. I don't know what it was, right? I go in there and he's, you know, I'm trying to be a good guy. I'm trying to think about how he's teaching rather than what he's actually saying, since I don't understand most of what he's actually saying. And so he gets to this one point when the students are all stumped with his problem, you know, and I'm stumped, you know. And he says, well, we can solve this problem using imaginary numbers. Yeah, I perked up at that, as you might imagine. I didn't know we could do that, you know. It would have made my experience in math a great deal easier, you know. Apparently, though, imaginary number is a quantity I, right? Makes sense. Such that I equals the square root of -1, or I squared equals -1, right? And even I get that this is sort of like a math professor scam that they're running, right? Because if you square something, if you multiply two negatives, it ought to be positive, right? But apparently this helps them solve insolvable problems, you know, and what, you know, that's cool. I'm fine. Yeah, if that's how you got to do it. You know, I'm fine with making stuff up. Well, but the problem is immediately that I'm writing a poem, because this is the coolest thing I've heard in a long time about math. The other part of the story is that, you know, this just goes to show you should never send poets to do real work, right? Because we're not good at it, right? We should just be left alone to do our own little thing in our little houses. So this is called Imaginary Numbers. As in light coming distances in the humming blankness from stars already shuttered and collapsed, as in the volume of water not in the bottle, the area of the shadow of a missing limb, the way winter light through glass warms nothing, the speed at which on the rain-slick, leaf-scattered Katanning Pike the accident doesn't happen, the car doesn't slew and swing out against the oncoming traffic, horns don't blare, glass doesn't turn to a geometry of pain, and so she returns home after work, with the dusk already clamoring up the house, the porch light out, haphazard mail and the message light flashing down the hall. It could be that her child, gone to stay with his father, has called to say he loves her, or that her husband has left her for another man, a rodeo clown, perhaps, and she won't know whether to be enraged or amused. Or perhaps it's her dentist confirming her appointment as her cats twine between her legs, demanding to be fed. If possibility is the square of experience, what can she say of this day? Its unknown grief haunting the house, painting the walls with its brushwork of headlight and shadow. Outside, the rain begins again and slaps the grass, the bare limbs of the trees scaffolding the exponential dark. She snaps on the light and sees herself repeated in the mirror, at once doubled and inexplicably exhausted.